Good afternoon, Little Saigon, Seattle. Good afternoon to the people of the moon. Good afternoon, moon people. We haven't been back there in a while, have we? Good afternoon, moon people. Why don't you call anymore? Hey, moon people. Hey, moon people. Yes, good evening, good afternoon to the people of the moon. Good evening, good afternoon to the people of Mars and Jupiter. Good afternoon, Jupiter. Good afternoon, Venus and Mercury. And, you know, Saturn and Neptune. Remember Pluto? Good afternoon to all you folks out there. It is November the 11th, that's 11-11, and for you numerologists, boy, you're supposed to ask for $1 million and you'll get it. Isn't that true? Isn't it true, you numerology freaks, that if you ask for the money, you'll get it? You ask for it on 11-11, or when it's 11-11 on 11-11? And if it was 11-11-2011, shit. That's the calm in between the storm. That's not a good memory time for me, actually. Yes, indeed. It is November the 11th, 2020. It's right around 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's right, the time of Seattle during the plague year. I don't really know if I would know that there was a plague if not for the internet. It makes you wonder, maybe during the 14th century, they could have avoided the plague by simply not having the internet. Yeah, they didn't have it, did they? Yeah, dancing nurses during a pandemic. You have to meditate on what that means. It's like dancing scientists at CERN. You know, the Large Hadron Collider at CERN? You had that, what was it? Synergy or Syzygy or that crooked-ass fucking documentary about CERN and the search for the God particle. And all the dancing scientists and dancing particles. And now they got the dance of the ape monkeys where they dance like zombies at CERN in declaration of the coming time. Thank God for dancing nurses during plagues. How would we know that there was a plague? Thank God for dancing scientists at CERN. How the fuck would we know about quantum mechanics if not for that bullshit? How would we know that there was a plague if we didn't have videos of nurses dancing their little demonic sexy dances in perfectly clean smocks? How would we know that there was a plague if not for that? How would we know about the quantum world if not for a bunch of fucking satanic dancing physicists at CERN? And finally, how would we know about Building 1 and 2 of the World Trade Centers? Building 7 fell 7 hours later, right? Huh. Let's not talk about that uncomfortable fact. But 1 and 2 fell pretty close together. That's kind of okay, right? And there were dancing Israeli art students. Dancing, how would we have known about Osama bin Laden if not for the dancing Israeli art students? You see what I mean, folks? Wherever there's some terrible calamity, we have dancers. And the question you have to ask yourself is, why? Why were the Israeli students dancing? The claim is, well, now America knows the pain of terrorism. Please explain to me which giant fucking buildings the state of Israel built between 1947 and 2001 that were as big as the World Trade Center buildings, plural, and got knocked down. Show me the fucking building. I'd like to see it. No, please do. Please do. If you think that's a good explanation for the dancing Israeli students, show me how it's the same thing. And show me how any fucking ally would ever dance as your people are dying. So please, think about why they're dancing, okay? They're not dancing out of solidarity. They're not dancing out of commitment. They're not dancing for any higher moral values. They're dancing in worship. They're dancing the same way that David, King David, would dance in worship of God. But they're not dancing for that God. They're dancing for a false god. They're dancing for the devil. That's why they danced on 9/11. That's why they danced at the CERN, at the fucking Large Hadron Collider. And that's why the nurses dance during a fucking pandemic. Sorry, just telling it like it is. Now here's a weird question for you Bible nuts out there. How well do you understand unfulfilled prophecy? A good friend of mine sent me a book on unfulfilled prophecy recently. I, you know, looked over the book while I was watching Beans, the French Bulldog, and boy, talk about studying prophecy while in the presence of a demon. So my question for those Christians, and all jokes aside, because these are serious times, we should try to smile, because there aren't enough tears to fill all the rivers and all the lakes. There really aren't. I mean, you end up recycling those tears. This isn't Eden, folks. This is not Eden. Any of you who have not read the curses that God read to Adam and Eve on the way out of paradise, now is the time to refamiliarize yourself if you're a Christian. So before we go too far to talk about things like water and air and how the planet is probably not a magical Pez dispenser, here's a really simple fucking question. Can there be a tribulation if 90% of the people on Earth lived according to Christ? Ignore for the moment that that is not the case. But would there be a tribulation? Would there be a time of trials if 9 out of 10 people followed Christ in every sense? Would there be any wars? Would there really be any blight of poverty? Would we be victimizing each other over stuff that goes away? You remember our conversation yesterday and the other day about stuff that doesn't last? Would we be victimizing our neighbors over stuff that doesn't last if we were truly following in the way of Christ? And the answer is simply no, I think, if 9 out of 10 people were. So let's ask the question differently. What if 6 out of 10, 60%? I don't know. The world would probably still be a bit of a mess. But imagine a world where a little more than half the people tried to live like Christ. Even if the rest of the jerks were total jerks, chances are they would go with the flow. Because if not good, then evil is a coward. If evil is not good, it is not. Evil can't be good, but evil can be a coward, which means if more than half the people were following the path of Christ, in all likelihood, evil would crawl under a rock. So what if it was just 50% that followed Christ, and the other 50% were just scumbags, kind of like maybe today, except for that's being generous. Well, I don't know. My impression so far of unfulfilled prophecy is that a significant part of it, and this is something that my friend Jim brought up in talking about Malachi 4, but a huge part of prophecy is the choices we make. Much of prophecy is about choices. Did you know that? Did you know that there are always choices? Even if a prophet says this will happen, it doesn't mean it has to happen that way. Sometimes people do make different choices. I believe this. The Lord in heaven gave us free will. We're not living a determined existence. However, does that mean that prophecy is a lie? And the answer is no. I do believe in free will, and I believe people will make the choices they make according to what information they have. But I also believe that, you know, history's a guide. One of the things that brought me closer to Christ was the obvious truth as I read the Old Testament that the history of the chosen people was essentially the history of humanity, a history of lying and cheating and stealing, a history of pretending to be good and then 5 minutes later basically being a bastard. Did I mention King David, beloved of God? That piece of shit broke every one of God's commandments in one fell swoop, pretty much. And yes, I did use the POS word, because even though King David was King David, and even though he was beloved of God, when he did the things he did, he was a POS. You read the Old Testament, you know the truth of it. There are good people, but there are a lot of shitty people. And when I look at the question of prophecy at this point, I am left with the simple idea that maybe the Lord in heaven is rational and good, and probably if most of us were living according to God's ways, we could avoid what's coming. Like what my friend Jim says about Malachi 4, if we can turn back to protecting the children, to protecting the orphan, the widow, the stranger, if we could actually give up on the lies the race war lie, the pandemic lie, if we could escape the lies and simply turn closer to our humanity, even if not towards Christ, if we could simply be a little closer to Christ, but that is the truth of it. What I just said right there, if you have any wisdom, you just heard me say it. There is no humanistic way back. We can't kind of turn towards Christ. We have to turn towards Christ. We can't say, well, I'll read the Bible for its principles, but I don't really believe. No, that's not what I'm talking about. That won't work. That's more of the lukewarm crap that I think Jesus does a pretty good job of admonishing in the book of Revelation. You know, do not be lukewarm, be hot or cold, but do not be lukewarm. That's right, I call King David beloved of God, and one day when I see him in heaven, I'll say it to his face. When he did what he did, when he murdered his friend so he could screw his wife, he was a POS. He was a liar, he was a cheat, he was a scoundrel. And if you believe that's the worst thing that happened in those ancient times, you do not understand their history nor history itself. But does that mean that everybody for most of history has been crap? And I think the answer is no. Here's my basic position. I think that when Lot was in his house surrounded by sodomites, literally and figuratively, and the angels showed up, I think that Lot was living in a city, let's just say back in the ancient world, that city could have been as many as 50,000 people. Who knows? 100,000 possibly. Let's say it was 50,000 people. When Abraham went to the Lord in heaven and pleaded on Sodom's behalf, he basically said, what if I can find this many people? All the way down to 12, I think. If for 12, would you spare Sodom? In a city of 50,000 people, maybe 100,000, Abraham could not, with the help of angels, find 12. Angels who can be everywhere and anywhere, almost like God. Angels who are the fist or the open hand of God. He could not find 12 to save Sodom. So my question to a lot of people these days is, do you think we're more like, you know, an Amish community or a peaceful community somewhere in Polynesia that doesn't commit cannibalism? Do you think we're more like some decent, peaceful group of people? Or do you think we're more like Sodom at this point? And what is the number? If there are 300 million people in the United States of America, how few is the number that we would have to, or really how big? I mean, in relative terms. My guess is, and this is just a guess, we would have to find a city's worth of people to convince God, you know, to, if not to avoid chastisement, because I'm not sure God has to do anything, folks. You know, this is one of those cases where we were given a lot of rope. We were given choices. We could have been free, and in that sense, life would have been both simpler and more open and more possibilities, which means better chance of avoiding terrible outcomes. We could have been free, where we were honest and truthful and respected each other's dignity. We could have done that, but instead, we built a neo-Stalinist hellhole. God doesn't have to do anything at this point. This Jenga tower of bullshit will tip over on its own. And I gotta say this too, before we go too far down the road of, can prophecy be fulfilled if the world is still mostly filled with good people? Okay? When you consider the situation with respect to the society we have before us right now, the current society we have, a society where power, for example, electricity is highly centralized, okay? By this time in human history, we could have had decentralized solutions to power, which means every single home could have been its own power source. Of course, that would have meant every single home could be independent, and that could not be allowed. we could get most of our calories from within a circle of 20 miles. That is doable. That's been doable. That's more sustainable. There are lots of things we could have done, but we didn't do. Instead, we built up a grotesquely complex, overly engineered hellhole. How do you think that's going to fall apart? Do you think God has to do anything? Or can he just sit back and drink a beer? This is my question. I don't think the Lord in heaven has to do anything at this point. The chastisement that would be coming if this is not tribulation, it could be biblical in that sort of the sense that people use the term, but it might not be tribulation. It just might be horrible, and it will be a result of our own stupidity, of our own empire, of our own greed, of our own belief that debt itself is anything other than stolen wealth. It's always been stolen, either stealing from the future or stealing from the present. But we bought into it. We thought we could substitute our entire economy with debt. We still do. To this day, look at the stock market. Look at people talking. They think they can substitute reality with a credit card. This will not end well, folks. And so in that sense, God doesn't necessarily have to do anything for us to get chastised. Our chastisement might very well end up being a result of our own stupidity, of how we had choices we could have made, of how we could have chosen a little bit more difficulty while keeping our liberty, but instead we opened our minds to bullshit and free lunches that do not exist. Anyways, that's the question, guys. Could you be in the time of tribulation if there were more than, let's say, 10 or 20% of the population believing in Christ in any real way? I don't think you could be. I think you'd have to be almost in the state of Sodom. In the very least, I think as Christ said, it'll be like the times of Noah before the flood. And I paraphrase. Well, folks, Sodom, which is technically after the flood, represents a lot of the evil that existed before the flood. And so if you can imagine an entire civilization of scumbags, that's what Jesus is talking about. An entire civilization of money-grubbing, backstabbing, real estate scamming, piece of shit scumbags before the flood. So could we have a tribulation if things were different than that? And my answer is no. And as I walk the streets of Seattle now, and I see all these Moloch worshipers wearing their muzzles, I don't really require that much evidence that people are demanding their demise. They are making irrational and crazy choices every day that will lead to their destruction. And that is absent God. That is simply going by the rules of the curse. Going by the rules of causality. Going by the fact that we are not in Eden. And there are some real brutal consequences to being stupid. So people are choosing it. If you look at them, they're choosing what's coming. They're choosing the famine and the war and the disease. And that's if there's not a tribulation. This is one of those questions I was asking this morning, sort of related, but different. What is it at this point to choose to live? Because think about it. Like, someone comes to your door, knock, 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 and says, we're here to test you for the COVID. And you say no. And they say, well, we'll be back tomorrow with a police officer. And they come back tomorrow with a police officer, and you still say no, and so the superintendent opens the door. Yeah. What does it mean at this point to do that, really? You see, here's the thing. I would rather live 50 years, which is my age, and basically live the way I wanted to, the way I felt I needed to as a person, than to live as a slave for 100 years. In fact, if you could guarantee me 500 years of physical life on Earth, but the only difference is I had to put a magical chip in my arm, I would still say fuck you. And I'll go a step further. I believe as a matter of human rights, even if you're not a Christian, every human being would have a right to say fuck you, I don't want the magical life extender chip. So if it were just a matter of some people are going to inject themselves with chips, or some people want to have smartphones, or some people want to be as plugged in as they are to all the bullshit all the time, fine. But, you know, that's not where we are right now. Where we are right now is very close to the point where, you know, if it doesn't end up being some type of insurrection, we're going to have hyperstatism, which means extreme government, which means no privacy, total censorship, and yeah, they're not going to give you a fucking choice. It's like these current eviction bans. I was thinking about them, and it occurred to me that there's a reason why they might be doing it that goes beyond the fact that, you know, people don't have any fucking money. And that is that they want to basically set people up for that choice. Do you want to be homeless? They'll come by. Hey, here's a voucher. You can live here for 2 years, but you have to take the vaccination and you have to be monitored. Get tested, including that plastic tube up your nose. The one that if they don't do it right, they'll puncture the lining between your nasal cavity and your brain. You can live longer and you can have more years and you can obey. I'm certain there'll be a lot of people, it's already happened and it already does happen. There's going to be a lot of people that take the vaccine and they'll just die outright. And like I said, guys, you know, if you were to say, Dan, are you saying nobody died in 2020? Actually, just the opposite. I think a shitload of people were murdered in 2020. It's more of a question of that pie chart. I wouldn't give very much of it to COVID, if anything. I would give it over to state murder, sanctioned murder, which includes China with the Uyghurs. I think a lot of Uyghurs are being murdered, as if anybody in this country cares. But I think also in places like New York State, a lot of old people were murdered, outright killed, for lots of reasons, not least of which they can't afford to take care of people. They are broke, ass broke. Everyone is broke. That's why we have austerity right now, because this whole fucking society is broke, ass broke. The bankers stole as much as they could steal. They pushed as much misery on people as they could. They ran this entropy engine as long as they could, and there ain't nothing left. Or at least not much. And really, the only way they're going to be able to scrape more at this point is probably by shipping in the rest of the world. Although I don't see how that's going to work either, really. So a lot of people are going to be faced with a choice. And it'll be basically, well, I can preserve my life, my physical life on Earth. I can preserve my home, maybe, my car, probably not. I can preserve a few things. Yes, they'll probably take my kids. They'll turn my kids against me if you're a parent. Yes, they'll do a lot of shitty things. If we don't head towards, you know, a Soviet-style collapse, we're heading towards hyperstatism and all this shit's going to happen. But you still have choices. Okay? You still have choices. We all have choices at this point. And I think that, you know, in my own case, I've had a good life. I've had a really good life, in my opinion, for all the failures, for all the disappointments, for the fact that I have a marriage that didn't succeed, for everything. I've had joy. I've had happiness. I've had accomplishment and failure I've had enough. And I would love to have more. But if the way to get more means I have to start earning my wages from the devil or making more money from the devil than I care to, then the answer is simply no. And if the wage of this is to say I deny my soul and I deny Christ, well, that's simple. The answer is no. And yet I'll still say I lived every fucking day the way I wanted to even before I found my faith in Christ. And I think that's why I found my faith. Because I lived every day as I wanted, and that would never change. I feel sorry for the rest of you. I pity you. I pity you if you're so afraid to make a choice that you become a slave. I would rather end up dead in a matter of weeks, and that could very well happen, than to live a day as a slave. Sorry. If I wanted that, I could be at Microsoft right now. Hell, if I became good at being a cocksucker, I'd probably be a blue badge there. And if you don't know what a blue badge is, don't fucking worry about it, because it's not gonna fucking matter. Won't matter. You know, I think I'm going to keep this podcast short for tonight because I got a little overwrought. I don't know. There's this one topic I've been wanting to talk about, but it's really dark. In fact, that's the title of it. And it's really terrible. And what's worse is I've discussed this before. I've discussed the scenario. I've discussed the scenario that is one that is kind of terrible, and I don't want to discuss. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to save that for if I'm up to it tomorrow. But I will go back. I will say this, though. I was talking to a friend today, and I said, this is where we're at. I think that it's probably, you know, a good, strong 40% chance, less than even odds, that we enter some period of instability. I think it's less than that. I think that it's probably a 50% chance that we are headed towards hyperstatism. Although I don't know how you reset something that's broken. I've said this before, you know, once this is all broken, I don't know how you reset it. There are so many things that are going to be in shambles if that's what the road they go down. But it could be that. But that also means, guys, gun confiscation, no more free speech, no more privacy. They didn't have to send you to a FEMA camp because they built one around you. So right now we're looking at instability 40%. Let's say 40% chaos instability. Trump or Biden, but probably Trump gives a statesman-like speech, 50%. And then the 10% is really for something I'm so fucking... The 10% is for something that could be so terrible, but it explains everything. And the 10% could point to a lot of different things. I don't want to say what. What I keep getting back to is that, and it just didn't start in 2020. It really did kind of go crazy about 4 years ago, but it's been ongoing and increasing for 20 years at least. The amount of shit that they're piling on people at this point. The amount of shit, even stuff that's true, stuff that's real, okay? The amount of crap they're piling on people is only designed to paralyze them and to make it impossible for them to make decisions, but even more so for people to tap into their ability to discern and to have intuition. There's been so much lying and so much shit piled on people that it makes me ask that 10% question, what the fuck are they hiding? Really? Because at some point, if they keep the stuff going, people are just going to completely lose it, and whatever was left of civil society will be gone. And maybe, yeah, that's the plan. This is the thing. This is why I think Jim could be right. Maybe they want a civil war, but that means they want everything to burn, because a civil war in the United States in 2020 would be apocalyptic, an actual civil war, a real one. It would be crazy. And the world would probably not do very well in that context, and it would be particularly worse if foreign powers got involved. Guys, during the first American Civil War, the French and the British both considered getting directly involved in either the side, you know, the side with the North or the South. If they had done that, World War I would have begun on the North American continent. And you know something? That might have been one of the ideas in some people's heads. Hey, maybe we can jump the gun here a little. They didn't, though. If we are talking about foreign powers on American soil, if we're talking about UN forces and stuff like that, you're not just talking about civil war. That is World War III. And yeah, you say, but Dan, haven't we been in World War III since 9/11? No, we haven't. 9/11 was a lot of bullshit. This would be actual. 9/11 is more like the Chop Chazchopia I filmed on June the 16th. A lot of bullshit. A lot of government-supported commie bullshit. No, this would be real. This would be pretty terrible. So I don't know what the 10% is, but even though I give it a 10% chance, I think the reason why I'm doing that is not because of the likelihood, really, but more because I hope it's only 10%. Like, at least, even with hyperstatism, people still maybe have a chance to survive. And at least with a civil war, we could end up at some type of imperial collapse, and that would be better for our civic society. I don't think we need to be an empire. But that 10% thing, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. And I fear that the number is bigger. It's more likely. And I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it because if I'm right, and it's not just me, I'm not special, but if this is something that people are correct about, then within a matter of weeks and months, people will know for sure. It will be hard to hide if it's what I'm not going to talk about it. Did I tell you it's November? Yeah. I actually have some other topics I can go through here. Really quick, I think, maybe. No, that's it. Anywho, I hope you guys have a great rest of your Thursday, because I'm done for today. Bye-bye.